Exalted in the earth, be exalted in every realm, be exalted in our lives, oh Father. We have come and we position ourselves to hear you, to receive your love, and to be transformed thereby. Speak to us, Lord, for one word from you can change our lives forever. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to have you this wonderful evening. Thank you so very much for leading us in worship tonight. Before I go into the word in my heart for us tonight, and it's not going to be a complex word, it's going to be as simple as you can get. But I know that God will speak to us through it. And as we receive the word of the Lord, our lives forever will be changed. Amen. Before I get to the word, Sunday last, I shared with us about a particular change that is going to be taking place in this house in the next few months. This whole place is going to be a different place. And I share it because I want you to be involved in it. God is going to do what God is going to do. But nothing is as distressing and causes people to disconnect. And I've been in ministry, this year will be 45 years. When there's an assignment, something that the body wants to do, when people don't engage, if individuals don't engage and it gets done without them, there is a shame that the enemy brings upon them. There's a sense of freeloader that comes upon them, and before you know it, they start finding fault, one fault or the other, and the reason they find fault is so that they can disconnect, so that they have a reason. And so I share these times with you because I know God is going to do what God is going to do. Some way, somehow, God always does what he wants to do. He didn't need me when he created the earth. When he put the stars in place, he didn't need me. He did what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it. But then God called us into partnership. He says, I want you to partner with me. First thing I want you to do, name all these animals. And man named all the animals. Got him involved in the creative process. And I believe that's the same thing for us. I'm going to show you a 3D rendition of what the church is going to look like. It's not exactly, but it's close enough. If you can pull that image for me. What is going to happen is that right in this area here, there is, no, I want it 3D. I want a 3D picture. Right over here, there's going to be a big screen. That's a side view. Give me the colored picture. That one, that's what I want. Okay, there's going to be a big screen right here. And we're going to be moving all of this all the way back to where the golden arch is, right there. And the platform is going to come all the way up. So we're gaining some space because you see, when we put that big screen there, our worship team will no longer be able to be there. They'll have to come to another place. And all of this is going to expand all the way to about here. Now, what that means is that we're going to also change the carpeting. Because you can't start piecing stuff together. All of that is going to change. It's going to come all the way here. There's going to be stairs right here. There's going to be stairs over there. And there's going to be stairs over there. It's not going to be one steady staircase. And so there's going to be decorations here. But since we're changing all of that, all of this is going to change. So all of the carpeting, as you can see right there, it changes. There's a young lady right there that looks a lot like you. You see it? Right there. Hallelujah. So all of that is going to change. And how many of you know that is Harachi's? So it's going to cost us no less than $100,000. That is based on natural estimation. But I know a God who does what God does. So while I know it's going to cost $100,000+, I know God, the God of miracles, is still here. He's not changed. And he's going to do for us what he can do. Amen? And now this is not going to take forever. We are going to get on top of this as swiftly as possible. And you know we have monthly meetings, right? So while we're having the monthly meetings, we're going to do this so quickly that it does not interrupt anything. But we need every one of us to be involved. Some of us have already made commitments. Some have made the commitment that they can based on what they know. But in things like this, I want you to hear from God. That way, nobody's making you do anything. You are making the decision, you and God together, and trusting God. And what I've committed to do is, if you're making a commitment to give me your envelope. Put it in my hand. I'm going to be carrying it around with me. I'm going to be praying with you that God brings into your hand what you need. That God shows to you where those funds are. That God helps you fulfill that commitment. And we will all see a change in this house. And when we finish with all of that, we'll go after the chairs next. and take care of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I need you to be involved. I don't want you to be a bystander. I want you to be involved in whatever way God calls you to be involved. If you don't have the cash to do it, when we start doing this reconstruction here, maybe you can help, you know, and hand in tools and whatever else. And I don't know what God is going to use you to do, but I know we got to get this done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the second thing I want to share with you before I bring the word of God to you today is this little pamphlet. At the beginning of the year, in January, we had 30 days of September, April, June, and November. All the rest are 31 days. So why were you singing that song? I just needed to remember how many days are in January. And that's how we learned it, those early days. Well, 31 days, we were here together. And during those 31 days, God spoke to us powerfully. There were prophetic declarations. There were things that were said that we needed to use as point of contact for praying. And those prayer points are all here. Prophetic declarations are all here. Prophetic statements made to individuals are all here. Well, let me not say to individuals, because there were some very deep prophetic statements. One of the prophets we had was reading people's emails, addresses, and going generations, calling the name of their, where they lived, and all. It was just uncanny. But in all of it, God spoke to us. And I want you to get your booklet. I would have given it to you, you know, and say, well, yeah, it's free. But I know what's going to happen. I've been around long enough to know that when sometimes something important as this is just given to people, they don't cherish it and they don't use it. So we're asking that you give a donation of $10 to get this booklet. And God is going to speak to you through it. Each page is like that, and the reverse side is empty. Because I know God is going to speak to you. He's going to say to you some very particular things. And while you're going through it, if you want to go deeper, you can go online and listen to the messages again and let it speak to your heart. So the books are available. Get your copy. Praise the Lord. We're having a problem with a particular speaker, that's going to be replaced or something. So that's what I wanted to share with you. So at the end of the service, do pick up your copy. The ushers will serve you and go through it. Let God speak to you through it. Amen? Okay. For this evening, I have a very simple word that I believe God wants to remind us of. It is found in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. The Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. And the 16th verse. This is a particular passage of Scripture that you know very well. Most believers know this passage. Actually, in years past, during games, there was a guy who used to go around with a plaque, a big board, you know, with the word John 3:16. That's how he preached the gospel. And I'm sure people ask, what's that guy? What is John 3:16? And, you know, what people normally do, they might go to Google and say, what is John 3:16? And when they Google, what is John 3:16? This will pop out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a powerful word. But I wonder how many of us really appreciate that particular passage of Scripture, what it says, truly understand what is being declared to us. God so loved the world. What does that mean? God so loved the world. It means exactly what it says, that God loves the world, all of the world, every person, every individual, male, female, he loves them. Old and young, he loves them. He loves the guy that is straight and the guy that is not straight. He loves the good and he loves the bad. He loves people, period. He so loved the world that he divested himself of all that he is to be the price of ransom, the price of redemption. The one who took all the blame and all the fault, the judgment that belonged to me, that he took it, says, I love you so much, I'm going to take your pain off of you. I'm going to take your poverty. I'm going to take your sickness and your disease. I'm going to take all of your sufferings. And in its place, I will give you all that I am. I'll give you my awesomeness. I will give you my goodness. I will give you my love. I will give you my care. I will give you my understanding. I will give you all that I am. For the Word of God says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? All that God is. All that God is what God gave to us at the very beginning. God gave us the capacity of God. We were created in the image and the likeness of God, but we blew it because we started running with something else. Something that was unlike God. Something that said that God was not being truthful. And all God is truth. And all the enemy wants to do is cause you and I to doubt the integrity of God. Shows us all the issues in the world and says, if God is good, why is this happening? Well, Bad things happen in the world. There's no doubt about that. There are people who are screaming and running and trying to hide in Afghanistan right this very moment. Their whole world is falling apart in just a moment. They believed in man. Man is going to protect us. The U.S. government is going to protect us. It's the most powerful force in all the earth. We will be protected. It lasted 20 years. In fact, the president said not too long ago, and look at how things fall apart. We're going to withdraw on September 9 or September 9/11. We're going to withdraw. 9/11 is when, from Afghanistan, they were bombed. How crazed in your mind can you be that on the day that you were bombed, that's the day that you're going to withdraw so that you know forever? But that's how man operates. They did not even get to 9/11. They had pulled out. Their flag has been drawn down by a force that was just only 70,000 or so soldiers. And the headquarters of Afghanistan is gone. Does God love those people? Absolutely. Who is it that caused all the problem? It is not God, it's the devil and people that hand over the world over to the devil. The pain and the suffering that's happening in our world is generated by the powers of darkness because man handed the world over to the devil. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says the God of this world. And when it talks about the God of this world, it's talking about the devil. The devil. He's still the God of this world. Now, that statement was made after Jesus went to the cross and died. And God still says the God of this world is Satan, and he blinds people. God is your God. If you believe in him, then you deserve his protection. But the God of this world that causes the hurricanes and the tsunamis and cancer, and that's the devil. But what did Jesus come to do? He says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon him. And by the stripes that he bore, we are healed. Jesus is our healer. He's our deliverer. He's the God who comes and says, devil, no more. This one does not belong to you. The Bible tells us that we are not of this world. We are not of this world. The kingdom of God, he says, is in you if you believe. The kingdom of God is in you. The world is going to fall apart, whether they like it or not. But what God doesn't want to fall apart is you. So he says, I want you to be strengthened in your inner man so that you can appreciate the love of God which passes all understanding. I want you to be strengthened in your inner man. I want to give you a capacity inside of you that causes you to believe. How do you receive this capacity? By hearing the word of God just the way you're hearing it right now. When you hear the word of God, the capacity to believe is established, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You receive the pistis of God, the pisteo of God. You have the believing capacity that begins to cause you to believe in a God that you know loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What does this mean? In the next month, we'll talk about the atonement. During the time of the feast of Yom Kippur, what it means is that Jesus became man just like you and I. He dropped the essence of his godness and became a man just like you and I. Why did he do that? First reason was this: to show to us that whatever he gave to us was big enough to deal with the devil. Hear that? That you and I were fully equipped to deal with the devil, that we're not a weak specimen of himself. So he came as a man. He went through sufferings as a man. But greatest of all, as a man, not as God, but as a man, a God-man, created in the image and likeness of God, like the first Adam. He single-handedly took on Satan and all of his cohorts and defeated all of them and took the keys of death and grave and rose again, setting those that were dead free, giving them liberty as one man. You and I had the capacity to deal with the devil and all his cohorts and defeat them because God invested so much of himself inside of us. Why did man, the first man, lose it? He lost it because he did not believe that what God said about him was the truth. That God was holding back on him. And any man who thinks that God is holding back on him perishes. You will remember the word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not. He didn't say shall not. He said should not. You have the capacity to have everlasting life, but if you choose not to believe, can't help that. Why? You see, because love that is forced, love that is robotic, love that has no will to decide to accept or reject is not true love. And God is not a robot. And therefore did not create you as a robot. He created you as a person, a being with a will. You make a decision. I want the salvation of God in my life. I don't understand it all, but God, I just choose you. I accept your love, and I want to run with you. I want to walk with you. I want to live my life honoring you. I want to please you. That is the call of God to every one of us. Jesus took the risk of coming to the world to be tempted just like you, just like me, in every way possible, any sin possible. He was tempted. In everything. Jesus was tempted to be a druggie? Of course. An alcoholic? Of course. An adulterer? Of course. Whatever is a sin, he was tempted to do the same thing. But he overcame all of it as a man. The Lord was so overwhelmed by stress. You read it in the passage in the Bible, and you read past it because you don't understand the language. It says, and the disciples took him the way he was into the ship. If you read in deeper, what you get is that Jesus was so stressed with all that was going on that if you looked at him, you'd think that he was a crazy man, that he's lost his mind. You mean he was mentally stressed? Yes. Whatever it is that you have gone through, will go through, he went through. And he overcame all of it. All of it. Did he have financial problems? Sure he did. He didn't have enough money to pay his taxes. But what does he do? He did what he calls every one of us to do. Look unto God. Say, Father, what is it I'm supposed to do concerning this situation? And Father said, tell Peter to go to the lake over there, cast his hook, he's going to catch a fish. And when he catches that fish, he should open the mouth of the fish and there will be a coin in there. Tell him to take that coin and pay the bills. Ah. Remember, you say, no, Jesus just did that. No. Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. I can't say anything except what I hear the Father saying. So the answer that he had, he was pulling from the Father, just like the first Adam was supposed to pull from the Father. So Jesus, our Lord, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Have a relationship with God. Talk to God about your problems. Talk to God about your marriage. Talk to God about your financial situation. Talk to God about your addiction. Talk to God about the pain and stress that you're going through. Talk to God about the confusion that you're facing. Talk to God about this unemployment situation. Talk to God about this son, about this daughter, about this husband, about this wife, about this uncle, about that friend. Talk to God about that boss. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. And God will tell you what to do about that situation. That way you will not perish. You should not perish when you know God loves you. And this God is strengthening you in your innermost being. And he's saying, I understand. I understand. I understand your struggles. We don't have a high priest that is not capable of relating to us. He relates. He relates. He knows what I'm facing. When the enemy pushes hard against me, when the enemy pushes hard against you, you have one who comes alongside and says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Even when you forsake me, it may seem like I have forsaken you, but I have this commitment. I will always be there for you. I'm just right there. I'll be with you till the end. He loves me. He loves you. The God who says, in all of your getting, get understanding, understands me. And he understands you. He understands disappointment. He's gone through it. He understands betrayal. He's gone through it. Somebody sent me something that was rather interesting the other day. A baby mosquito was taking flight for the first time and came back home and said, "Oh, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy, oh, the people were celebrating me. They were going about clapping all over the place. They were clapping for me. They were clapping for me. They were clapping for me." Papa said, "No, no, 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 son. They were trying to kill you, actually." So Jesus understands that. He understands when you think that people are celebrating you, that they really want you dead. He understands that. But he still says, "I love you." Here is Judas about to betray him, and what does he say? "You dirty scoundrel, you bag of whatever." No, he says, "My friend." Huh? You know this guy is going to betray you and you're calling him my friend? Yeah. You see, in life, when you know that God loves you and you're connected to him, you understand that for a David to be great, there are Goliaths. And that he has to get ahead of a Goliath to get ahead in life. You understand? Yeah, trouble comes. But just like the man who's busy pumping weights, resisting causes your muscles to tear. Well, it's in the tearing of your muscles that you build bigger muscles. Problems don't sound like good things but they are conduits through which God makes you who you are. See, if God looks at you today, he sees the good days, the bad days, the ugly days, and all of those days make part. Your character is birthed out of all of the good times, the bad times, the ugly times, the unsure times, all of the times that you face in your life. That's what makes you different from me. You can be born in the same home and read the situation differently. And one person becomes that, and one person becomes that based on what they think. You can be in a home and think, "My father and my mother don't love me." And meanwhile, they're doing everything they know how just to love on you. And thinking, "Nobody cares about me." You wonder, how can this person from this home be this? It's just their interpretation. So recognizing first and foremost that God loves you is what's going to make you make it in life. If you don't know that, the devil will lie to you and bring you into a place of defeat. Know it today. Know it tomorrow. God loves me. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. Not when I became Mr. Goody, 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 Good Shoes. While I was yet a sinner, that's when He loved me. He loved me then. Now, if God loves me, loved me when I was a nobody, what do you think? Now that I'm becoming more and more like Him, He stops loving me now? No. But the should not perish is founded in you and I believing God as He is, as He has presented Himself. And recognizing this simple fact, the world as we know it will never be trouble-free. But truer than that is this, that He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I do not promise you a problem-free life. But what I can say to you today is this, that God is bigger than your problem. He's stronger than the challenges that you will ever face in life. His capacity can handle anything and everything. That's why God is not going to freak out on you. Please hear this. God is not going to freak out. Let me say it again. God is not going to freak out because you messed up. Because He can handle it. And He will help you overcome. You may have fallen one time, two times, but a child of God gets up the seventh time. Do you remember, and please do not misunderstand what I'm about to say or what I'm saying to you right now, because this is not a license to live your life messing up, because when you keep on messing up, there are consequences to your actions. The God who says to you, if somebody wrongs you, forgive them 70 times 7 times, in one day. That's at least 490 times. Can you imagine somebody messing it up and, you know, poking you 490 times and you forgive them 491 times? Do you think that He can handle it? If God says you should do that, huh? So why don't you just go back to God and repent? Just go back to God and repent. Say, God, I messed up. I did it again. I messed up. I don't want to keep on messing up. Help me. God will help you again and again and again and again. But the thing is, don't, you see, the Word of God says, the one that has been born of God cannot sin because the seed of God is in him. He was not born with a corruptible seed. You are not born a sinner when you got born again. You were born to be a saint Remind yourself of your sainthood, that you belong to God. When the enemy comes at you, you say, I love God too much. Keep on going back to Him and reporting that I've been bad. I refuse you. I reject you. I reject you. I reject you. I reject that. I reject this. I will walk before God. Father, I receive grace to overcome this sin. The Word of God says, God will not allow any sin that is beyond that which you are able to handle to come your way, but will provide a way of escape. Are you taking the way of escape that God is given? Or you just falling flat? Oh yes, sin. You know why you keep on sinning? Because you love to sin. Why don't you just go to God and say, Lord, I love sinning. Help me not to love sinning. Go to God and talk to Him about that. Help me. I don't want to perish. And there's something in me that's causing me to go in this direction. I don't want to go in that direction. I want your help. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You are my helper. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. Holy Spirit, you are my comforter. Holy Spirit, you are the one who reminds me of what the Word of God is. Help me. Strengthen me in my inner man and grant me the grace to resist the devil. Oh, this is true. As I begin to wrap up here, accepting the love of God brings about this particular factor. It is a factor of submission and humility. The Word of God says, submit yourself unto God. Then you can resist the devil. You know what the problem is? Many times we don't submit ourselves to God. And we're trying to resist the enemy based on our own ability. I'm going to, you know, positive thinking. Positive thinking is not going to get you out of there. Submitting yourself to the Word of God, that's what's going to give you the ability to resist the enemy. Too many people, well, I've just speak the Word. While you're busy speaking the Word of God, are you subjecting yourself to the Word of God? God so loved the world. Guess what? He sent His only begotten Son. Who is this only begotten Son? The one who subjects Himself. You're not subjecting yourself to the Lordship of God, but you want to have victory? It's not going to happen. The key factor is you submit yourself to God. Say, God, I submit myself to you, and I declare that you are Lord over my life. I belong to you. And your word says, I am the apple of your eyes. So, God, I am trusting you to fight this battle for me. And when you do so, when the enemy comes knocking, guess who shows up at the door? Jesus. It's not you. Why? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, 20. Will you trust God? Or are you going to still keep on doing it the way that you've been doing it? When will we learn that God is calling us to repentance? Secondly, not only is God calling us to repentance, God is calling us to a place of empowerment. Because when you repent, guess what you do? You are submitting yourself to God. And when you submit yourself out of a true heart of repentance, not lying to yourself when you know you love sinning. What are you repenting about? Liar, liar, burn on fire. No, I repent. But you love sinning. You love doing the thing. You repent. What are you repenting of? Repentance means that you're making a change of mind about the situation. You've not changed your mind about it. You still love your pornography and you're saying, I repent. Excuse me? No, that's not repentance. You come to God, say, God, the reality is I love pornography and I don't want that anymore. So God, take this mindset out of me. Take these images out of me and help me to make right decisions. And what God will do then, He will begin to expose the trigger points in your life that cause you to do that thing that you don't want to do, that you have now fallen in love with. You love the alcohol, you love the booze, you love, you know, the partying, you love the whatever. That's why you are doing it. I want people to like me. I, you know, it's like, you know, in those days, in that old man life, for whatever reason, I thought I could take on anybody with a stick of cigarette in my mouth. When I didn't have the cigarette, I was Pee Wee Herman. When I had the cigarette, I think I'm Superman. Crazy guy. Thank God that guy is dead. Thank God. This is a new man. Now I know that was foolishness. But now I know there is grace and it's sufficient in God. I didn't have to fight cigarette off. Overnight, it was gone. Gone. But there's some here. You're in church. I'm not saying smoking is good or bad or whatever, but you have given dentine and mint great wealth. Stop pretending. Pretending does not get you out. Just be real. I may not like what I see, but I do know that the God who sees what He sees when you are hiding it in secret, in the back room, in the garage, in the bathroom, in the whatever, and still loves you, didn't kill you. That God loves you so much, He wants to turn your life around. So go to Him. Give yourself a break. All this hiding stuff is so stressful, it's going to kill you. Pretending to be a Christian when you're not acting like one. It's going to kill you. Just go to God and tell Him, God, this is the mess I found myself in. I don't know how I got in here, but I'm in it. And I need help. Please help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. I don't want to perish. I want to have everlasting life. It is a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But you have come to give me life and life eternal. I want your life. I don't want what the devil has to offer. Empower me by your grace to live victoriously. And God will show up and help you. So stop the charade. Stop the pretense. Stop the lying. Just go to God. Be real. Let me say it again. Be real. God loved you. So loved you. Without any limits. That he came to die to save you, to save me. May his name be forever exalted. Amen and amen. This is the word that the Lord has placed in my spirit for us for this evening. I trust that it has spoken to you, those that are here in this auditorium, and those that may be listening online presently or in the days to come, that you hear loud and clear simple message of God's eternal love. There might be somebody here today, right here in this audience or online, you just want to say to God, I want to give my life to you. I'm making a mess of it. But I know you can do something with this life of mine and turn it around. In 1974, I made that same decision. And God took my past and shoved it off. And gave me a new life. I know God can do that for every one of us. And if you're here today and you're saying, God, I just want to give you my life. Take it and do something with it. Whatever it is you want to do. And just raise your right hand, and I'll pray with you. You're just saying, God, I give you my life. Do whatever it is you want to do with it. I submit myself to you. If there's anyone here, raise your hand, and I'll pray with you. Praise the Lord. Okay? Well, I can celebrate the fact that everyone here has given their lives to the Lord, and no one has to pray that prayer. If there's anyone here, I don't know what's happening on the other side of this camera, but if you're here today or there, and you say, Lord, I've given my life to you, but there have been situations here and there where I have transgressed and gone off on a tangent, allowed the enemy, and I just simply just want to repent. Just want to say, God, forgive me for the mess up. I'm not going to be pretending through life. I just want you to take charge of my life and help me live faithfully, honoring you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I've been backsliding. I've slided off left, right, whichever way. But God, I want to be on the right path. And you want me to pray with you about that. Just raise your right hand, and I'll do so. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. May we all rise for a quick moment. Lord, here we are. Recognizing, O God, that we have a need of you. In so many ways, we have failed and not lived up to the standard and the quality of life, the capacity that you've invested in us. And today we repent before you and ask, oh God, not only for forgiveness, but Lord, oh God, for an elevation in our thinking, in our actions, in our thought lives, in whatever it is that we do. So, Lord, that your name be exalted. Forgive, cleanse from all unrighteousness, and establish the truth of your word in us and through us. This we ask in the mighty, glorious name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated briefly. This Thursday coming, we are going to be having a conference. And while I set up this, do come. If you've not honored God with your giving, just come on down and honor God with your tithe, your offerings, your vows, your whatever commitments. Information is online. Donation at Glory and Peace is an avenue that you can use to share your offering also online. If you need an envelope, you might ask for it and one will be handed to you. But this Thursday, we are going to be having this powerful conference. The man of God that's going to be speaking to us is well capable. A man that has lived the life of the miraculous. He has much to share with us. And we're going to be engaging him this Thursday. And then we're going to have speak on Friday. And on Saturday, I will be speaking to us. And the theme of this conference is there is a lifting in God, higher ground conference. That is for the 19th through the 21st of August. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do play the video.
No matter what has happened in your past, your story is not finalized. Don't quit or give up. God remains faithful and he has the final say. There is a lifting up in God. Now is your time, your turn for your lifting to higher ground, your change of status. Get connected to your God destiny. August 19th to the 21st, 6:30 p.m. daily.
Praise the Lord. Now, the COVID restrictions have been lifted somewhat, so there is no reason why you cannot be here. Some people may have valid reasons, but I will expect that most of us will be in-house participating in this particular conference and allowing the ministry of God's word to impact us individually and corporately. Amen? I remember there's no Bible study on Wednesday, but Thursday is going to be the next meeting that we have. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and of course, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. May God's goodness be revealed in you and through you. I pronounce the blessings of God over your life, in your going out and in your coming in. Amen. And we're caught up from the rest of the world, but I do see at least, I'll be with you guys on Zoom in just a moment. I see, is that